I'm dancing to our intro music.
Oh, I see. You're really good at it.
Can you guys see?
Probably
no.
Not.
That was the worst intro. I'm sorry.
Welcome to the on-call room.
A Grey's Anatomy podcast with your hosts, Abby.
And Brie.
Otherwise known as BJ.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I feel like I still need to change your name in my phone because I search for BJ every time.
When you don't really call me BJ.
But that's like your internet name. Like on Facebook, that's how I find you. On Instagram. So when I'm typing to you.
Well, you should do like quote BJ and then Brie. Because then if you search BJ or Brie. Yeah.
I should do that.
Then it will pull up either one.
I should do that.
Because I changed my name in Johnny K's phone to the most beautiful woman in the world that I have ever seen or something like that. And then it says Brie Babbitt. So I'll search Brie in his phone
and
if I
want to
like send
that.
Myself a photo and it will pull it up. Even though it's a super long quoted thing about me being the most beautiful woman in the world.
I love that. Jake changed his name in my phone because you two are the same person. His is Jake Cute Booty.
Yeah, I like that.
It used to be Jake with a cute booty, but he put cute booty as the company name, so that doesn't show up. So it was just Jake with a.
Jake with a.
Like the first time he called, I was like, what does, like, I see what you were trying to do, but with
Why?
A what?
Yeah.
I know some people I see, like when they call, it says like husband or like whatever. Mine said for years, Jakey. That's what I put him in as when we like first became friends.
Yeah. John's in mine as Johnny K and it will never be anything
He's in
else.
Mine as that as well.
Yeah.
I call him John sometimes and it feels weird, but I feel like it's okay.
I call him John when I'm not around him, but when I'm around him, I don't call him anything. I don't know what to call him.
True
like, I feel like I can't call him John and I can't call him Johnny K to his face. So
you just don't say anything.
Honey.
You're like a nervous kid when they go to like their friend's house and they don't know what to call their parents.
Yeah. That's me living with my boyfriend, just nervous all the time. Don't know what to say.
At the hotel I was at this weekend, I went to get coffee in the morning. It's a very long story, but basically the lady wasn't ready yet and she complained to me that she worked till 3 a.m. and I was like, I don't really care.
I want my coffee.
I really want coffee. And then I was like, okay, it's no big deal. I'll come back when I'm all ready and I'm checking out, which I didn't. And then she like, as I was running away, goes, hey girl, hey you. And I like looked to the front desk lady. I was like, is she talking to me? Like she was kind of crazy and she was talking to me, but I thought that was a weird way.
Did she work at the hotel?
Yes, but she was very flustered.
That is not appropriate.
It was very weird.
Yeah,
like, I've also been yelled photo girl at weddings. So.
Photo girl.
Photo girl.
Cool.
Not even photo woman.
I'd be like, fuck you. Fuck you very much.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was fun. Did a lot of BBQs out with the old grill.
Yeah.
I'm eating a lot of pork. So that's a
thing. I had pork yesterday. You ate pork also when I saw you.
Yeah, we've been eating a lot of pork. We had pork loin last night. We had
pork chop sandwiches.
We had kielbasa the night before.
Wow.
Hot dogs or pork.
That ish. Pork-ish.
Yeah. And then the night before that, we had pork chop sandwiches. Not really, but pork chops. So like,
who eats pork chop sandwiches? Now that I think about that G.I. Joe PSA.
Yeah, I don't think
pork chop sandwiches.
But then today, listeners, can I just have to tell this story.
Yeah, I was wondering actually before you tell this story because it sounds good. I can. Should we go live so that people listening can hear it?
Sure.
And while I get my phone, you can tell people where to find us?
Oh, yeah. So
you
can find us on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. You can find us on Patreon if you want to donate and co-host. $10 a month. We are having a co-host on tonight. So that could be you next week or the week after or maybe another week.
Yeah, we have not our first, but we have another patron on that's going to be on later today. So
www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. donate, do it. You can also find us on the World Wide Web, www.theoncallroompod.com. Did I say that right?
I think you did.
Cool. Other than that, we're on Facebook, but you have to pay on Patreon. This is not a good angle for me.
I know. I don't. Maybe I'll just hold it, or I'll put it like, how do I do this?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I could move.
Okay, wait, listeners, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Bree's story.
It's just logistics, guys. Okay, so I actually don't know how I feel about this story going live, but oh, I guess whatever.
I didn't know what it was.
No, it's totally fine. So, okay, I sort of started my period yesterday, but then it kind of went away. And so I can tell that my body is like
in disarray.
Like the hormones are coming out my ears. Like I'm just super upset. And you know, like when you want to cry, but you don't have a reason to cry.
Yes.
That's how I felt all day. So I get home from lunch and John was home already. Like he works half days on Mondays and he was laying in bed, which pissed me off because I had to go back to work. So I go in and I kiss him. And I was like, you smell like onions. And he was like,
yeah. A felony.
Yeah. And I was like, what did you eat? And he was like, I got tacos. And I was like, why didn't you give me a taco? And he was like, I don't know. I didn't think about it. I just like slammed the bedroom door, made hot dogs, and then watched the movie. And then I get to work and I have a text from him like, oh, I took a long snooze and like... sorry, I didn't get you tacos. And I was like, it's fine. And I got home and I was like, he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't get you tacos. And I was like, I know I'm being so irrational, but in my mind, I had every right to be mad at you that you didn't think about me and ask if I wanted a taco for lunch. And like, that's when I knew, I just like came home and I like put my head on the counter. And I was like, I can't do today at all. And I was mad about tacos. I was mad at work for no reason.
I'm anxious to see how you rate this episode because
it's going
to
be zero.
Because that means you watched it while eating angry hot dogs while John slept in a room next to you.
And then I got home from work and the bed was unmade and I was like,
And then I was like, we get a miscommunication about if there was food for Bree.
Yeah.
And I sent... I think I do realize how I said it now is confusing, mm-hmm. but what I was saying was like, yeah, okay, I can make something. I was like, Jake and I will split this other thing. Was right. Kind of what I was thinking, but it didn't come out like that.
No.
And so I send her a picture of two pizzas because I was like really proud that I made a meal. And she probably thought like, what a bitch. Why is she sending me a photo of the food I don't get to eat?
Yeah.
She's like, I'm at Sammy's. Be there soon. And I was like, I made you a pizza.
In line ordering. And it was just like, I have to go to a wedding this weekend. And I tried on dresses last night for the wedding and none of them fit. It's all just in my boob area. And I literally was having a breakdown today. And I haven't pooped all day. I think that's like really messing with me. So I'm drinking a beer, hopefully.
That'll.
Yeah.
I have some calm.
Which also, I'm drinking a beer. This is really funny because usually we're drinking wine.
I have some magnesium calm.
I don't want that. We know what happened when you took magnesium.
Just because I pooped my pants doesn't mean you will. I took the pills, like it's like this other kind. It's way more intense.
I think just give it a day. Like if it doesn't.
I'm going to send you one with a baggie that's going to look like cocaine in a bag because it's a white powder.
I'll probably get
you can make
over.
A line of it and then you can mix water with it and drink it.
Perfect.
So listeners, if you have any good, well, it's going to be too late by the time you hear this. And oh, the live. We're on live right now. If any of you guys know where to like Bree can get like quickly go find a good dress.
Kohl's, obviously. Kohl's.
Yeah, Kohl's. Yeah, let us know.
And that will fit my big boobs.
We can perform surgery tonight.
That breast reduction immediately. Are you trained in that?
I've had it done. I think I'm qualified.
I think you could do it. Can you put me under? Well, I'll just drink more beer. It will be fine.
Just drink Coronas.
I'll just drink a fuck ton of Coronas.
Think about how many Coronas you would have. You'd have to turn into a Corona in order for that to actually work.
For you to not feel being sliced into? Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there is a limit of Coronas that would do that.
No.
bottle of wine, I feel like you could drink like a Magnum.
And maybe you'd be out of red.
Of red. Yeah.
I could drink a Magnum White, no problem. Drive to work. Work a whole shift.
That would be
but
a
give
joke.
Me red.
And it's
I'm
a different
slurring
story.
My words. Oh, so that was my day. It wasn't really that great of a story, but
I could sense it in your voice.
Which is so funny because I was trying so hard to be like, I'm in a good mood. And now I realize I can't fake it.
Like, no, you can't. It's the way you answer. Like, it's kind of like you've given up.
That's how I felt today. Literally just was like walking from corner to corner in the kitchen, putting my head on different parts of the counter and like leaning over the sink.
Well,
like, I just can't do it.
When I was talking to you about food too, you kept saying, I said, well, do you have dinner? And you go, no, I'll pick it up. And I thought you were saying, I'll make something up. And I was like, well, how are you going to make something if you don't have food? And you just kept saying it and I kept mishearing you.
Yeah, it was a misconnection, like Craigslist.
No, I ate your pizza.
It's fine. I had a chicken gyro.
Which turned out great then.
Yeah, so it's all fine. But I just, I hate this feeling. Like, I just want to scream or punch someone.
I get it.
Or,
I've been
like,
there.
Cry. Or, but there's no reason why. There's no reason. Except for my boyfriend didn't pick me up tacos. And I kept thinking to myself, like, when I came home last Monday and we didn't have food, I thought of him and I offered getting him a sandwich. So why didn't he offer getting me a taco? And it was like, you are literally insane.
What right character now. On Grey's are you most being like right now?
Probably Izzy, because she's the fucking worst. I'm being the fucking worst right now.
I get it though. I'm on the week. Like, I'm currently, this is so period TMI. I'm currently on mine, but in the second half where, like,
things are good again.
It's better once it starts exiting.
Everything's okay. Because nothing's okay.
My favorite week is the week after.
Yeah.
You feel, like, energetic and, like, you can accomplish things.
You also feel 10 pounds lighter.
That's true.
And your boobs don't hurt.
Yeah.
You're beautiful. You're not breaking out. You're not bloated. Everything's better.
I think you look beautiful. Maybe you should just listen to your birthday episode if you are feeling sad ever.
I'd probably sob.
How many times have you listened to it? Have you ever go back to it as a tool?
As a tool? To
a self-care tool?
No. Mm. I mean, I did when it was more
relevant.
Yeah, around the time. But
yeah.
Times have passed.
That's true. Now, I want to look and see if anyone's saying anything. Well, there's 7 people watching.
Well, that's great.
Let's see here. My mom waved. Look at her. Look at that beauty. Ooh, strange light.
Oh, looking so nice. Oh, she looks great, guys. She looks really good.
There was pretty light on my face. Okay, I'm just going to keep that here. People can choose to stay or they can choose to leave. It's the room where it happens.
I look like I'm having a breakdown.
You can just hide off the screen. What I'm trying to think, what else should we talk about? I would like to just, again, do an update that the stink bugs are gone forever. I've not seen one in months.
Yeah, I haven't seen any. Oh, I almost got sprayed by a skunk last night.
So that's just the cherry on top. Think if you had, and then not only that, but today you smelled like you
guys. I wouldn't go to work. No. I wish I would have got sprayed by a skunk. Then I wouldn't have had to go to work.
And
today.
Then you would have had tacos.
Yeah.
Tacos. I'm really anxious to see how you talk about this episode.
Well, I'm going to just throw it out there. I didn't care for it at all.
Did you already rate it?
No, I haven't rated it yet. Okay. But my notes, there's nothing really good in them. There's not a lot of them. I was shoving hot dogs in my face. I also drink a Coke Zero. That's where I was at lunch. Like, I'm going to eat hot dogs, drink a Coke Zero.
I had a weird morning. It's way less as cool and dramatic as your story.
Mine's like, not cool. You're not even in it. It's just my thighs.
It moved. The chair moved.
Literally my thighs. That's not good.
Getting sprayed by a skunk while walking my dogs at 4 a.m. before work is one of my biggest fears ever, says Sick Kid Chemist, our friend.
Yeah, that would
suck.
Yeah.
Okay, so this morning, or last night, my phone all of a sudden, like, froze. Like, it just it like wouldn't do anything and I couldn't set my alarm. And I was like, I know it's going to be frozen. It's like, Jake, will you wake me up when you wake up so I can go do my day like I normally do on Mondays. I'm very schedule oriented and like I go and work out and then I come back and whatever. And I, it's fine. That's not anything to do with that. And I woke up and I was like, see, I feel rested.
Oh no, you missed your workout.
Yeah. It was like 9:30. Yeah. And I was like, and so, and then I went to go into my phone and it was just still frozen and it had been plugged in. So it's not even like I could wait for it to die. Like it was 100% charged and frozen. So I ended up having to like, this is very boring, but restore it, which this happened to me in February where I learned.
You didn't learn your lesson.
No, because I mean, my photos are all saved and everything like that. But just think about all the apps you download or like text messages you send, you need to refer back to things like that. And like, I just spent an annoyingly like 2 hours organizing my apps, you know, like, and was very like, yes, everything is good now.
Everything's in its
everything
place.
Was fucked. So, I had to restore it and start all
Can
over.
Can you imagine if you would have been me today and that happened, you would have thrown your phone out the
window. It would have given you a reason to cry.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I might have, I almost threw my phone out. So anyways, I had all these phone calls scheduled today. So I had to do them on Skype, which was very like old school of, felt like I was in study abroad trying to call my family back at home. But yeah, anyways, well, I don't know. Should we
go?
Yeah, or let's...
Should we go? Bye.
Bye. We're done. I'll talk about one more time our sponsor, which this episode is sponsored by A-Day. It's really cool women's technical clothing. None of you bitches have used the code yet. Don't think that I don't know.
Don't make me cry.
Don't make Bree cry. Check out their website, www.thisis... Now you're not in the screen.
Good. I've become a ghost.
www.thisis...
I'm disappearing.
www.thisisaday.com. It's women's like capsule wardrobes, which if you don't know what that is, it's basically like you can have a minimal amount of items and make a bunch of outfits out of it. And you're saving the planet because this shit is recycled and made in ethical factories. And it's good looking. My new favorite thing are these track pants that I wore to a wedding that kind of make me feel like J-Lo, but I also still look work appropriate.
J-Lo is so good.
She doesn't age.
She, do you watch her show?
No, but I want to.
I love it.
Yeah, and Jenna Dewan is in there.
Yeah, and
Derek Huff.
Yeah, who I just love. Who I just love him.
Maybe when you're sad, you should just look at Derek
Huff. Oh, he's so cute when he comes out and he does his little dance.
I feel like he's like a young Michael Flatley.
Mm, yeah.
Which we love.
Is he straight?
He's married. Mm. Also,
they always are.
I know. You're dating someone.
It doesn't matter.
Also, last night, Jake and I watched Matilda.
Weird.
And it was on TV. And the funniest part was, no, this, I have to finish this. Remember your thought. Is that Jake, we'd be watching and he goes, wow, it would really suck if Matilda's ribbon fell out of her head and got caught in the tree. And then Miss Trunchbull knew she was there. And I like turned because I kind of remember it, but not like the intricate details. Yeah. And then like that literally happened next. And he's like, wow, it would really suck if Miss Trunchbull fell onto a globe and spun out of control right now. And then like that happened. And then he would like recite all the lines. And I was like, how many times have you watched this movie? And he like thought, and he was like, probably 50 plus.
Oh my God. I think I've seen it once.
Same. That's how I felt. He owned it on VHS.
Oh yeah.
But he,
it's like Passport to Paris for me.
I was like crying with laughter.
Guess what I watched Sunday?
What?
It Takes Two.
Oh, that's good. Is that
wasn't I just talking
to about all the Mary Kay and Ashley movies? Which one is that the one with
Kirstie Alley?
Yeah, Kirstie Alley.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
It was not as good as I remember.
No, don't tell me. Summer camp.
But it was good. Yeah. And then I put on Harry Potter and took a 3-hour nap on the couch.
Those two things don't go together.
It was just on in the background.
Okay, whatever. I also have to say when Miss Trunchbull first appeared, I said, and I really meant it, I'm not trying to put myself down, I look like her. When I go to bed, I put my hair up into like a brushed up, like tight bun on my head, like with a scrunchie. But like,
and like what I'm doing right now.
Yeah. But even like, there's no frizzies even. And then.
Sorry, I have frizzies.
Oh my God. And then I don't have makeup on and I look like Miss Trunchbull. Like, it's not even like, you couldn't look at the movie and be like, no, you don't, Abby. Like, I do. Like, maybe she's, like, a more larger, like, robust, like, football player woman. Because she dresses like one, but, like, I am her. So I think for Halloween, I want to be her, and I want Jake to be the kid that has to eat all the cake.
Oh, no, I feel so bad for that kid.
But what about a Halloween costume? He shoves cake in him.
Cake all over his face?
Yeah.
Ew, I don't want to be by you guys for Halloween. Ew.
It'll be face paint.
Well, you know what we're doing? Hamel cats.
Okay, no, wait, I want in on that.
So we're doing the
cast. You said I could be the white cat.
Yeah, we're doing the cast of Hamilton, but as cats.
Okay, so do you pick a cat and a Hamilton?
Yes.
Okay. What if, or is it just like, can I be the ensemble in Hamilton and also a cat?
Yes, that's great.
Okay, I want to be that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have to wear spandex.
But if I want to be the one cat, though, it wears white.
Well, I guess you're wearing
white. Can I watch cats with you and choose which cat I am?
Absolutely.
What cat are you?
The Rum Tum Tugger.
Is there a black?
No, or Grisabella.
Is there a black cat?
Mr. Mistopheles, I think.
Oh, that might be more flattering.
Or Deuteronomy.
Oh, that's a good name.
Yeah, he's large. Maybe I'll be Deuteronomy. A big fur coat.
You have one.
I have a fur coat. I am Deuteronomy.
Yeah, so.
Oh, look at, there's my foot.
I know, this is dumb. All right, well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to call our patron, Leslie, and then we're going to start the episode.
Okay, you got it. It's good. Hello!
Hello!
Hi!
Welcome to the on-call room.
Thank you for having me.
Who are you?
My name is Leslie. I am in New York right
Ooh,
now.
Fun.
What you doing there?
Yeah. It's very, very hot, but very fun in the city.
And we just made Leslie turn her fan off.
Yep,
so that,
yeah. Sorry.
Wait, do you live there? Because your cat is there.
Huh?
Do you live in New York?
Yeah, I live in New York.
Nice. And you're, because you said, I didn't know if you were there for work or something. And you then you said, I remember we heard your cat. So yeah, I just assumed yeah. that you live there.
Well, I also work here.
That would make sense.
Yeah. I wait, are you in like New York, New York?
I'm in Queens.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I always just use that as a direction on the subway. And I know if I'm going that way or the other way.
Oh, you know what? It was super funny that you said that because a woman on the subway today was very confused because she wanted to go to Statue of Liberty and she got on and she went in the completely wrong direction. And then she was getting off the train and she was like, excuse me, how do I get to the Statue of Liberty? And I was like, you went in the complete opposite direction. And she had tickets to the Statue of Liberty that she was going to miss. I felt
oh,
really bad
no. You know, though, to be fair, like, it is just until my, like, fifth time going there that I knew Queens is north and whatever the other way is. Oh, what is
Brooklyn.
It? Brooklyn? Yeah, is south. Because I get annoyed because this is going to make me sound worldly, and I'm actually not, but I've only been to like two cities that use subways. But in Spain, it just lists the next stop for your direction. Uh-huh. And I think that makes more sense because if you don't know, like if you're like me the first few times, I'm like, I don't know which way Queens is.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, yeah, it's just confusing. So, and
big
then,
city living.
And then when you get like the next stop, you're like, oh, phew, thank God. It's like the correct direction.
Yeah, I felt so bad for this woman because it was like 9 o'clock in the morning and there wasn't anyone there to help her, it seemed. So,
that was
nice of children.
Oh my God, nice of you to help.
Yeah, seriously.
And then the loudspeaker's always like, wah, 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 wah. And you're like, what does that mean? I can't understand anything.
Everything's breaking down around me. Okay, so what do you do in New
York?
Yeah,
we always like, what do you do? Like, it can be that, it can be your job or your life, whatever you feel like sharing.
Well, I work for kind of a big company, so I don't really want to say the specific job. I work in technology. I also write. I do some freelance writing as well. I actually am very lucky because I live in New York and I get to go to theater sometimes, which is pretty cool.
Oh,
okay, next question. What theater have you seen recently or what has been your favorites?
I saw Sweeney Todd Saturday.
Ooh. Oh,
fun. Was it good?
I know. I thought it was great. It was kind of intimate, and the people were dancing on the tables, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
There was a seven-year-old who seemed, a little boy, who seemed really excited by the subject matter, which was very adorable and kind of scary. Loved the song about cannibalism.
Right? Yeah.
And I got to see the SpongeBob musical recently.
Oh, was it so good?
Oh my gosh, it is wonderful. You should totally come and see it.
Did you get to see Ethan Slater as SpongeBob?
I did.
Okay, good. I feel like he is SpongeBob.
He really is, and the guy who plays Squidward is amazing.
We saw him on the Tonys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going there in October, and I am thinking about what I can afford to and like should spend my time going to see, and that is on my list.
It's really, really worth it, even if you're not taking kids, because it is like the music is fantastic and it's super fun.
Good to know. Have you seen Hamilton?
I saw it a long time ago and not with the cast that is currently in it.
Okay, gotcha. Well, that's cool though. Wait, you saw it like back when it was like new and not like how we're freaking out now.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's awesome.
And I have seen Hello Dolly, which was also
Did you see Beanie Feldstein in it?
No, I saw the version with Bernadette Peters and Victor Garber because my friend and I really wanted to see Victor Garber.
Fun.
Jelly.
Yeah.
How cool. Theater.
Yeah, the theater.
So, we're musical theater people.
I love it.
So speaking of the theater, how did you find the podcast?
Yes.
Well, I was trying to think of it. Well, it's a combination of things. I mean, I guess the thing is that I had kind of dropped off of watching Grey's Anatomy when I gave up cable. Because when you don't watch it live, you sort of start to, like, forget. And, like, you'd have to go back and, like, just rewatch the whole thing.
Right.
But I read somewhere that one of my favorite actresses was going to be a guest star. So I was like, well, I got to go back and watch Grey's now. And I hadn't been watching the latest season because the last season bummed me out kind of. But then I kind of got just like back on the bandwagon. And I think I was listening to Gilmore Guys at work and I was just like, I got to find something else. And this one either was on the recommendation or I read that it was similar to Gilmore Guys, so I was like, well,
we have made it. We are fist bumping right now.
So I was just like, I'll listen to this because sometimes I don't love podcasts where people are like not critical of the show, but I really like you guys and you guys are very funny. And I think you guys can like be critical and also fan out about it. So yeah. I like that.
I feel like we're always critical, but yet we're doing a podcast about it, which might be confusing sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes I think I actually might hate the show. But
it's like what I said. I kind of went through a period where like the 13th season just like really bothered me for some reason. I was like, I think I might be done with this show.
Yeah.
And then there was an episode with Alex's mom and I was just like, I gotta watch that episode.
Oh, that was the person that you wanted to see?
I love Lindsay Wagner. I love her so much. So I was just like, I gotta watch it. She's amazing.
That's funny. And then also to think that you're saying that you are over the show, but yet you're paying money for a podcast to co-host.
Well, I kind of started rewatching the show and then it was like, it made it so much easier to like rewatch the show with people who like could understand why I was having issues.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
So did you start watching it when it first came out?
Well, I know exactly the first episode that I watched was I was away at college and the last episode of the first season, my mom had already been watching Grey's and I was coming home from college. So I was just on the couch and she was watching the show and I didn't know what was going on or like who any of the characters were. But I used to watch the show. I'm older than you two. I used to watch the show Drew Carey.
Oh, yeah.
And Addison was his girlfriend on that show. So my mom and I were both like, oh my gosh, it's the girlfriend.
Oh, because she comes out in that last episode. Yeah.
Yeah, she had blonde hair in Drew Carey and she has red hair in this show. So we were like trying to figure it out for a while. So we were both like, oh my gosh, we love that actress. And she's from Chicago. And
I'm
originally from Chicago. So I was very excited.
Fun. So many fun things.
Yeah. who is your favorite character, would you say?
Well, I'm a big Addison fan.
Same.
I really love her. I think she is one of the best. I think the show really excels at writing kind of interesting, flawed women really well, who are like unlovable, but like they just have flaws. I think Addison is a great example of that. And I think Christina is a great example of that. And Meredith. I mean, I really like Meredith, but Christina and Addison are probably my two favorites.
That's a good point. When you think about the realm of characters, like, I think some of their best characters are women.
Oh, yes. I would say so.
Oh, like, yeah, I guess maybe that's kind of obvious, but I never really like thought about
in that way.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's the reason why maybe some people, I really do like Alex as a character. And mm-hmm. I think part of the reason why I kind of dropped off the show was they kind of stopped developing his character as much as they used to.
Yeah.
And, but I like loved the fact that he was almost treated like a lot of the women, of just being like extremely flawed, but had potential for growth.
That's true. He wasn't just like a perfect match like all of the other guys.
Yeah.
who is your least favorite character?
Oh, his name is Derek.
Oh, fun. Controversial.
Yeah.
I love that.
I was, even the first episode that I watched, I was like, I don't like Patrick Dempsey. And I was like, I just had a very strong reaction of like not liking him and not liking his character. And it never really went away. I mean, there were times when I liked him more. I think maybe the fifth season and the sixth season, I liked him a little bit, but I've never really been a big fan of Derek.
So does that mean that your favorite storyline is when Derek dies?
I hadn't, see, this is the problem. I've gone on and off the show based on my schedule, because a lot of times Thursdays were just like a terrible time to watch TV.
Yeah.
But I had been watching Private Practice earlier, before the Grey's Anatomy episode of the sixth season finale.
Yeah.
Because I was consistently watching Private Practice, but I hadn't been watching Grey's Anatomy. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, oh, I guess they're not going to get rid of Derek.
Oh, that's a shooting right? Yeah.
So I was sort of like, I kind of was like, oh, maybe they're finally going to write him off the show. And then they didn't. And not for quite a bummer. Some
time. You know he's off though, right?
Yeah.
You're that? Okay. I was like, he did die. But yeah, so what's another honor?
Then I'm interested to know what your favorite relationship is. If Derek is your least favorite character, it's probably not Derek and Meredith.
No, it really isn't. I think my favorite relationship is Christine and Meredith.
Yeah.
I really, really like them. I guess I was trying to think of as relationships go, and I think I liked Teddy and her husband, even though we haven't gotten to her yet.
Yeah.
I love that too.
Yeah. But it's interesting. There's been a lot of relationships that I have not been on board with, including one from this episode.
Oh, yeah. We have some stuff to talk about there.
I think that's...
I'm just going to ask one last question. Do you have an unpopular opinion about Grace? Is it the Derek thing?
It's probably the Derek thing. That's probably the one that I'm most unpopular about. I said this before, and it was interesting because someone was watching the show. I actually became a bigger Private Practice fan. I was like a huge rewatcher of that series, which is kind of bizarre because it's the spinoff.
Right.
Yeah, but I like it too. I feel like it's good.
It took me a while to actually finish it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Within like the last couple years, I just finished it, but it's good.
I'm in complete agreement with people who are like, the first season was not good. I was like, yeah, that first season isn't very good.
But I'm surprised it lasted so long.
I think the thing that I liked about Addison is the thing that I kind of like about the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so I do recommend people watch that if they liked Grey's, and maybe they kind of have similar in and out relationship with the show.
Yeah.
Because I feel really, consistent wise.
How many seasons does that have?
I think it has seven.
That's kind of a lot six. For a spinoff.
I feel like it's six.
Yeah, but still, that's like a lot.
Yeah, no, it is.
I think the sixth season was like a half season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Perfect. I love it.
Well.
Okay, did you take notes?
I took 5 pages of notes.
Oh my God. I took two.
I took one.
Kind of, like one and a half.
I have some
drawings in the middle.
Bree has, actually, it looks like a total of 8 notes.
Well, there's another side. Okay. I'm going to just start off the conversation with, I was in a headspace when I watched this, and I didn't really care for this episode.
I understand your opinion on this episode. I also ended up not really liking the episode.
Yeah.
And I made a huge mistake because I was watching it at night. And I was like, I can take a shower right now or I can watch Grey's Anatomy right now. And I was like, I'm more awake. I should probably watch Grey's. And then they turned my water off.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
So it was like really affected my opinion of this episode.
And now now we made you turn your fan off. So you're also hot.
Spitzing over there.
I finally turned my water back on. It was okay, fine. Good. But it was like. 10 o'clock at night, I went to go take a shower and it was like, there's no water.
Oh my God.
Also, you know, it's your time to co-host. So I feel like her note ratio is not like related to ours because she's not going to throw away her shot.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah. Why do you write like you're running out of time? Write day and night like you're running out of time. Every day and night.
Okay. All right. So the name of the episode is Time After Time.
Yeah. And we're going to do a little bit of, so we're going to right away do like a shotgun workup. And then we have like a few different storylines that I'm just going to like right off the bat say so people just kind of know what they're in for.
And then we'll do first notes.
Yep. So shotgun workup, we have Mr. Redford, who is Marlowe's, what's his first name?
Colin.
Colin Marlowe, who had like the piggyback surgery.
Yep.
And then we have Hannah, who we find out is Izzy's daughter, who has leukemia and is a bone marrow transplant.
Yep.
Right? And then... Ava / Shannon / Jane Doe.
/ Smoosh Face.
Smoosh Face. Just so you know, Leslie, I've been texting a photo of Smoosh Face to Brie. Like,
often.
Like, once I just answered a question of hers with, like, sure. And then this, like, really close-up image of her face.
Which is just terrible. It'd be like I'd finally get it off my text screen and then she'd, like, send it again. So I would have to stare at it.
Don't worry, listeners. It'll be on the Instagram feed soon.
Yeah.
And then our storylines, I'm just going to quick just say them. We have the Meredith, her stepmom Susan, and Derek whole situation. We have Chief being single, Sloan being a wingman.
Mm-hmm.
We have Christina dealing with the two men that like her, Marlo and Burke.
That like her.
And we have Karev and Ava. I'm going to call that one creating a dream woman. That's what Addison said. We have... Izzy, George fighting, being sad, loving each other, bone marrow, Hannah story.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have George being an idiot to Callie.
Yep. So, first note.
Go ahead, Brie.
Shouldn't our guest go first?
You've had a bad day. I was just trying to like throw it to you. But yeah, Leslie, what's your first note?
My first note was I like Meredith's blue sweater.
That's a great first note.
That's a great first note. Right on par.
Yeah. Abby?
Mine is, why is Susan there?
Yeah, mine is, why does Thatcher's wife, and then later on I wrote Susan, because I couldn't remember her name originally, want to be around so much? She was never there before, .. ever. So I was very irritated that she was, like, being around.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not even that she was, like... you know, calling or like she was just showing up in her kitchen with groceries. I feel like Ellis has been dead for a couple weeks now. Not that means you shouldn't still help people who go through grief, but
Susan's never been around ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But she's also never called. Well, that's probably an issue with the show in general. People don't really call before they stop by.
That'd be
but
boring
like
television.
She never calls to say I'm coming over. And it's really annoying. It's so annoying.
It's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
And she does it again at the hospital. Could you imagine someone just showing up at your office being like, hi, I just wanted to talk.
Yeah, I'd be like, get the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Also, like later in regards to that, when that happened, I wrote Susan! ! Go home! ! Like, I'm glad that Meredith finally like kind of stands up to her.
Yeah.
In that moment. But also... I just,
Well, do we just, maybe should we just talk about
this storyline? Yeah, let's talk about this because it annoys me. Like, I get that Susan, you know, they're kind of showing maybe the difference between like how Ellis was as a mom and who Susan is as a mom. And so Meredith, you know, she says, I only had a mom that was overbearing, not overprotective. I think it's how she described it. But I still think she's like overstepping her bounds.
Yes.
Yes, agreed.
That's absolutely true. And I also think it is very weird that Thatcher is not coming with her.
Yeah. I wonder if Thatcher even knows.
Probably not.
He's a Magoo.
Well, and like, I mean, at the end, and I could not remember this storyline for the fucking life of me. I was like, why is Susan around? This is driving me crazy. And then at the end, when she's like, it's my fault your father didn't fight harder for you, I wrote, oh my God, I didn't remember this at all. So, like, I guess I understood then why Susan was doing what she was doing, but I still don't think it's appropriate. Like, I don't know, cope and deal with that yourself. Like,
yeah.
She's, like, an adult woman now. Like, you can't make up for that.
Right.
Maybe ask for forgiveness, but don't, like, buy groceries and come to her work and, like...
Right. It is weird. I wrote then too, I liked that Meredith said to Derek, she goes, well, first of all, in the beginning, Derek tells Susan, don't come on too strong. Like, be careful your choices with Meredith. Like,
yeah, but keep bringing groceries. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Meredith would prefer her just to be upfront and say, I feel bad that I kind of encouraged your father to not be a good father.
Right.
And I would like to try and step up a little bit. Like, Meredith, if there's one good thing about Meredith, she does seem to prefer people to be honest with her.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I liked that she said to Derek, this was like, I don't like hate Derek like maybe that you do, but I he's not always my favorite, but I do like the moments that I feel like him and Meredith are a good team. And I liked when she was like, I scared my fake mommy away. And then he like kind of just laughs at her, like with her. And he said like, he hadn't talked to the chief and she was like, we're a good team. Like they both are kind of fucking up their day and having, and I like that they just like, he doesn't in that moment, like he normally does try to like teach her a lesson or like do whatever. He just like smiles at her because I feel like he understands her. Like, yeah, this is too much for, you know? So I liked that moment. And I also don't understand how in the beginning Krev is like, this is what moms do. They whatever. I'm like,
you didn't even have a mom.
Yeah.
I feel like this episode, well, first of all, this episode is completely about mommy issue type things. It's very weird. And I mean, do we know about Christina's dad yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Dead? So, I mean, oddly, Christina has daddy issues. Karev has mommy issues. I mean, it is so bizarre. This whole episode is just focused on that. But Karev has a couple of scenes that are like very foreshadowing of mom problems, you know, with the whole Ava thing, I think is just like creating repressed memories in
Like taking care of his mom and like, yeah.
And the fact that she's all paranoid about him at the end, it's like, oh, this is like creating post-traumatic stress syndrome for Karev. I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, but he also has his own level of crazy with this storyline, I feel like. I don't know. It's just with like the Ava storyline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the whole Ava story. And I feel like maybe there's an episode that comes up where they kind of say Karev is not getting into Denny Duquette territory. However, there are a couple of residents who should probably be coming up and saying, I don't think an intern should be responsible for dealing with this type of information. Like telling a traumatized woman that the people who just said they were your parents are not your parents.
That's absolutely, yeah, that's so true. That should not have been his responsibility. Should not have been his responsibility to like convince her which face to choose.
Like,
it's very bizarre that like he's so much on this case. And once again, the attendings are like so fucking unaware of what their interns are doing.
Right.
And how emotionally involved they're getting with their patients.
Right.
But I think it's even worse. I think arguably Addison and Bailey, and I love Bailey, they're both like almost encouraging him to get a little too involved in this woman's life.
Well, Addison, I feel like she sort of is, I feel like she's noticing it's a weird connection, but she's not really doing anything about it. Like, should that comment to him, like, oh, that are you trying to build the perfect woman? You know, like that comment was pretty much, I was like, yes. I think he's doing it subconsciously. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. And I mean, like, we can't, with too many spoilers, we can't really talk about the Ava thing because we all know where it goes. But I'm just thankful that she looks a little less terrifying for this episode. I thought it was weird. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just about to say, I was so excited because I forgot that it was the woman from the Family Stone.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my favorite Christmas movie.
That's also my favorite Christmas movie.
Love it.
Slash the lady from Twilight, as I will always repeat back. A vampire. I also think it's her character just bothers me. I don't like how needy she is. I get that you don't know who you are and that is scary, but something about the way she goes about it and her voice, you'd ask me who my least favorite character is, it's her.
Yeah.
And also, like, I can't handle, I think it's weird, like, when she gets her face, they're all being encouraging, but George is like, you look hot.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, does she, like, she's still...
No, like, her teeth are still shaved down, and, like, yeah. she's talking like this, and I don't know.
No.
It's, she, whatever. But also, I feel like that one scene, though, it, like, plays in my memory all the time of where she, like, screams, like, I'm not Ava, you made it up. Like, yeah. It just is, like, it haunts me. That scene does.
I'm shedding.
Yeah.
It's really hard to scream like that when you have fake teeth in. I have to say, like, I was really noticing that it must have been so hard to do those scenes with those teeth in.
Have you had to scream with fake teeth in?
No, but, like, I've been watching, like, trailers from the Queen thing, and he's also wearing fake teeth.
Oh, really?
And, just, like, and I have a relative who, like, they had to, like, remove all of her teeth, and it was, like, really difficult. And I'm just looking at it, I'm like, I can't believe having to do a screaming scene where you're not wearing, like, where you're wearing teeth.
Yeah, you don't, like, just have teeth, you're wearing teeth. Yeah. That's a very good point.
I also feel like this Karev Ava storyline is always been a little troublesome for me, because I guess, like, when we learn more about, like, you know, that he took care of his mom and that he is, like, a protector and a caretaker, like, I feel like that's his instinct. Even, like, when the things happened with Izzy, he, like, immediately, like, picked her up and, you know, but so I guess it doesn't go against his character, but the other part of him is so, like, smooth and cocky and Mark Sloan like so it's weird that he, like, gravitates between two extreme ends. Mm-hmm. And there's not just, like, a middle ground.
It's weird how turned on Addison gets by this version of Karev.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of all of the attending intern relationships, the Alex and Addison relationship is the one I find most inappropriate.
Really?
Yeah. I really hate it.
It hasn't happened yet, has it? They kissed.
No.
But that
they've kissed, and she's done weird flirty stuff with him. And I'm just like, he has more than once said, I don't want to have a relationship with you, or I'm not interested. And she is still being a little bit, not in this episode, I noticed they, like, toned it down. But
yeah,
the episode before, she was just, like, really hot and bothered by him. And I'm like, he has actively said, I don't want to be in a relationship with you.
Yeah, that is true. And when he said that part, we're like, can we talk about the kiss a couple episodes ago or whatever? And she was like, you kissed me back. And he was like, you're my boss. Like, what was I supposed to do?
Yeah,
I know.
And yeah, she's been, you're right, she's been pretty inappropriate. And you know what's interesting, though, is, like, we maybe don't pick up on that as much because it's a woman.
I was just gonna say that.
A man.
Right.
You know, I think maybe we'd be a little more disgusted by a man in a higher position doing that to a woman.
I would
but
agree
it's just
too.
As disgusting the opposite way.
Right.
Well, and I think maybe I'm wrong. I don't think, like, Izzy or George... Well, George kind of has a relationship like that with Callie, although she's not an attending.
And
but,
then
like,
married.
I think... I think it makes sense that Alex, Christina, and Meredith, who are very strong and kind of take no shit from anybody, are the three people who have these weird relationships with attendees, where I think it would be even creepier if Izzy or George did.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, it was when Sloan was like saying things to Izzy. He wasn't like actually trying to, you know, but he was like, when like flirting with her, and when he first got there, I don't know. He's just creepy, but he's getting better.
Yeah.
They're toning it down.
I did take a note because of the whole wingman thing.
Yeah.
It's funny because it did make me think, could you imagine Addison and Richard having the kind of attending intern relationship that the people in this show have?
No.
No. It would be so weird.
I do love, though, like, if we were going to talk about that stuff really quick, I love, first of all, my second note was Richard's hair is gray again. So clearly his dye grew out, and then it's whatever.
And then, he's a friendly guy.
Yeah, and I just love the elevator scenes, like Sloane's face in the background when he's, like, listening to Chief talk. I love their all reaction to him, and, like, he can't be that much older than them, but I mean, maybe like 15. I guess that is older. I don't know, but they just like treat him like he's literally like a dead grandpa. Like he's so old. And so I just love the scene where he like, whenever they take him under his wing, whether or not it's like the smart thing to do, it just makes me laugh. And I think that's why those scenes are in here. Like, you know, and like, it would be sad to be that old and single again. Like I know people that are going through that, and it's like a very weird, it must be, especially after being married that long, like a very, actually like really hard thing. So I do appreciate Addison's being like helping him out in like an honest way, and then just dancing with him. Like, yeah. I thought that was the cutest.
That, like, was a really cute scene.
I just love when like they, you can tell that they're old friends kind of. And I always feel like Addison is looking out for Chief while everyone else is like trying to fix him and like whatever. She's just like that one time when she was like hitting the guys with the notebooks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, don't talk to him about it.
When he dyed his hair.
Yeah. I just want to go really quick on that. My last note on James, that's his real name, on Chief, is I wrote, I think James Pickens Jr. actually has game. Like, I think that he's good at, but I feel like if he was his self, if you ever look at him on Instagram,
he's baller.
He's smooth, his outfits. Like, yeah. I bet you he plays this old sad man, but I feel like in real life, He's got it going on.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like he kind of, I don't want to give it away, but the woman he ends up with, like, she is not to be messed with. I mean, so he had to have some game.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Like, you mean in these current seasons?
Oh, yeah. I was like, wait, who is he with? Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed. I always forget that he's like, yeah.
Yeah, okay. He's with a powerhouse.
Literally, yeah. a dance legend.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. I love her. She was a Fame.
Also, I wrote Sloan takes Chief to a bar, lol, bad choice.
Yeah, because he's an alcohol, a recovering alcoholic, not cool.
But they only hang out at one place in this entire area of Seattle. There's no coffee shop even.
That's very true. That is not true. Chief and the shooting episode is sitting at a coffee shop when he sees all of these fire trucks going past.
The fact that you know that scares me.
I know. It's crazy. Whatever. Should we talk about Christina?
Yes.
I don't really have much to say. Wait. Well, I do. I said, where did Christina get all of that nail polish?
Yeah, all those colors. I only have three colors.
She borrowed it from Izzy.
Oh.
I would assume, because I think Izzy is the type of person with that nail polish.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree too. Okay, there were some funny one-liners in this storyline. Like, I wrote, why is Christina's ex still there? And then, but one of my favorite lines in this whole episode was, you know, Christina's like being romancy to Burke. And Burke goes, that will be a nice change of pace. Like, yeah. That was so funny because I don't know. I just love it.
Yeah.
my favorite Christina line was when, this was really mean, but she called Ava melt face girl.
I didn't miss that. Was that when they were eating lunch?
Yeah.
Oh my God. With really old guy.
That is really funny and really cruel. Like, that was harsh, Christina.
She's harsh, but for some reason, when she says it, it's funny.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even if it's really crass and, like, crude, it doesn't really matter. It's because Christina says it. It's funny. Also, her, like, holding Burke's hand while explaining the surgery. So awkward. Just the way he looks at her, like, what are you doing right now?
Just little, I just love Burke being like, that will be a nice change of pace. Like, he still loves her and he doesn't, like, want her to change. But I think he genuinely is like, oh, this will be fun. Like, yeah. excited. That whole storyline was weird. Like, the part then when the guy kicked him out of surgery.
Yeah, it was like, you can observe now. Suction, Christina.
Way to prove, he'd, like, just proved himself to be a terrible teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, well, no way you're going to be the chief now. You can't even teach this guy.
Yeah.
I just thought it was really annoying. This is my note. I did not understand it. Now I do. I wrote two heart egos going against one another. And I was like, what does that mean? What's a heart ego? But I mean, like, two cardio gods basically combating each other. Which is dumb.
How does he end up leaving? Why can't I remember anything about this episode?
This was you last week, too, I feel like. he just got frustrated with the whole thing and realized that Christina...
So he just left.
Yeah, I think
Did the whole Christina being, like, kind of accidentally repressed by Burke, is that, like... I feel like that almost came out of nowhere with Christina.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't think the previous episode set up the fact that Christina is... allowing herself to be sort of shut down by Burke.
Because Marlo said he's like softening you or something like that.
Right, yeah. Right.
I don't know if it's necessarily that he's doing that like educationally to her or anything, but I think my question to you guys, I wrote this at the end, at the very, very end, like Burke comes up to her in the bathroom and he says, now you can get back to being Christina. That's like his, and then she pauses and like looks in the mirror, right. Which I think, is she thinking about the Christina that Marlo guy was referring to? Like the hard, like competitive, like, is that what she's thinking about in that moment?
Well, I wonder because I don't want to spoiler alert too hard.
Yeah.
But there is a scene long time from now where Burke and Christina chat again. And he asks, like, are you finished? And she goes, no. And then she finishes when she wants to. And I'm not sexually, I'm talking about speaking.
Yeah.
And I feel like for a long time, she's starting to realize it now that Burke is taking something from her, mm-hmm. but she doesn't know what it is. And I think she has to process through that later on. And I don't even know if I know what it is. But I think, I think she truly feels like herself.
Right.
I think the thing that like threw her off was the fact that I don't think she was self-conscious in the like flirty stuff that she was doing with Burke in front of Marlo.
Mm-hmm.
But when she went in and said, you know, could you tell me how you did that or why you did that?
That was it. Yeah.
I think the fact that she almost maybe doesn't realize that she's acting like that and he called her out on it really threw her off.
Right. That she is, she's stroking Burke's ego. Instead of, because like, and she did that even with like, with when he had the tremor and stuff, you know, like, I feel like she's, this is going to sound bad, but I feel like she's putting Burke first and she's not the type of person to put someone first.
Right, right. Like, this is the first time in her life that she's done that.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that at the same time, like, it's also showing an arc of her as in a character in a relationship, like, where, like, she knows the answer to that, but she knows that he just got beaten up in surgery by her ex and mm-hmm. she wants to, like, so at the same time, like, it's like, part of me thinks, like, yeah, maybe she is losing a little bit of who she was, but I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. Like,
no, I'm not arguing it's a bad thing. What I'm saying is I don't think Christina has processed through that, and I don't know that she knows that if it's a good or bad thing.
Agreed.
Yes. Well, I think it's not bad that she's putting Burke ahead of herself sometimes. I mean, that's kind of what a relationship is.
Right.
But I think the fact that she sometimes is diminishing her own intelligence for Burke is the problem. I think that's really the issue. And that's kind of going to come back again with Burke, and then with another relationship that I know you guys don't like. so wow. I mean, it's just, yeah, there's another man in Burke and Christina's life. And I feel like sometimes she does that where it's not just about being a good girlfriend or being like a good in a good relationship, but it's about like literally putting herself down.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That makes sense. Amen. I don't know. I think I agree with everything that we all just solved.
But do we think this is like the first time that like that little spark comes into Christina's mind?
Yeah. And that pause, like it was dramatic in there for a reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was intentional.
Right. Right.
For the viewer to be like, wait a second.
What's she thinking about? Yeah. Right. So I do think, and I know that it was going to spark things in the future. But I also don't think, though, that Burke, I don't think he realizes at all. Like, I don't know.
Oh, I definitely don't think I don't think he's at all to blame, essentially, for the things that she's doing that are
like girlfriendy.
Well, not girlfriendy, but the things that are going to make her feel bad about the relationship, I don't think he's responsible for them.
Right. No. Right.
I don't think he is either.
No.
But I also, I do also think that Burke kind of has an idea of who he wants his spouse to be.
Right.
And it doesn't necessarily, Christina doesn't necessarily fit that mold.
Right.
And I think he loves Christina, and I think he challenges her, and he realizes she's super stubborn. But I do think part of Burke thinks that things will be able to be shaped over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that.
Anything else on those two?
Not about Christina. Although, what was, at the very beginning when they're doing the operation, she had a look at Marlo that I didn't understand. Like in the first scene when there's the narration, I didn't understand what that look was.
Oh, like in the very beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know either.
When there was like that geyser of blood, I was like,
only on Grace.
I don't understand why she's looking at up. I don't
know. Well, what was the
monologue?
What was the monologue? Because it probably had something to do with the monologue.
People lying.
Stop, stupid phone.
Oh, I thought you were yelling at me. Stop. Because like I was going,
stop, Abby.
I was going to go, you have it on your phone. You're stop.
Where's the monologue? What's it
at under? The very top. It's just like usually right at the top in summary, in quotes.
A patient's history is as important as their symptoms. It helps, or it's what helps us decide if heartburn's a heart attack, if a headache's a tumor. Sometimes patients will try to rewrite their own histories. They'll claim they don't smoke or forget to mention certain drugs, which in surgery can be the kiss of death. I think that's like the time where the blood shoots out.
Yeah.
We can ignore all we want, but our history eventually always comes back to haunt us. Oh. I think that's the look, is like her Colin Marlowe's her history.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like a little foreshadowing.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
we should read the monologue when we start an episode. Because it usually freaking, then we don't need to.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's just the episode. Then we don't have to dissect anything. We have all the answers.
I also loved when they were having lunch. Meredith looks at Christina and just goes, you've got stuff on your nails. Like she doesn't even say nail polish, like just stuff.
Mm-hmm. Are surgeons allowed to have nail polish?
No.
Don't they wear gloves though when they're doing
anything? Doesn't matter. Because you see them, when they're scrubbing in too, they cut their fingernails and they also scrape underneath them.
Oh.
So I don't understand why Christina's nails are so long, because she recently was just in surgery and her nails when she are like super long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that doesn't...
Honestly, they looked fake. They look like fake nails.
Yeah.
Television. They're not real surgeons. I want to talk about the big storyline.
Izzy and George. Izzy's... Okay.
Because I it's very hard for and weird for me to rewatch this because, and I've said this before, like when I first saw this show, like my first go through, I was on board with Izzy and George.
Mm-hmm.
And I...
What?
I mean, I was also like 18. And And I don't know. And I've been trying to like really think and try to figure out why. And I still think part of it is like when I was that age, like George is the person I would have gone, like felt like I could have had, I don't know. Cause I never like saw myself dating a McDreamy or anything. And George was like this like best friend kind of character. And like when I was 18 and 19, that was like what I wanted in life. You wanted Legolas. I wanted, you know, whatever. And so, I just think it's, and also I'm a really big sucker for scenes with like good music and like moments. And I feel like they have a lot in the past three episodes. Like they have these like really like emotional scenes together that even if you don't really care for them being together, something like the music makes you like on board.
Do we ever hear about Izzy's daughter again? I'm sorry. I just have
to. After this? Yeah. I don't know. Also,
I don't think so.
Yeah. I loved the scene though with Bailey. Like, I wrote, Bailey is so understanding in the bathroom with Izzy. Like, she, like, goes in there, knows something's wrong, like, forces her to come out, forces her to tell her. I would always want Bailey around if I had to, like, explain a crisis.
Well, yeah.
I love Bailey.
Yeah.
And the first time that I watched this episode, like, when I was, I don't know, 22, maybe? I cried. I definitely cried. Mm-hmm. I really hated the storyline this time.
Yeah, I didn't have any good feels about this storyline.
Nice. I had great feels about it. This will be fun.
Yeah. I did appreciate Bailey kind of being like, no bullshit. Like, I can't understand you when you're fucking blubbering. Like,
yeah.
Pull it together. Like, because that is that's Bailey as a boss. And like, that's Bailey as a mentor. And like, although I do think her character grows a bit. She's not as much like that now.
Right.
As she is in these first seasons.
And I completely agree. I loved when she kind of let George have it about, like, leaving Izzy alone for a little bit. I was like, yeah, George is so annoying.
Yeah, because he said, I demand you tell me. And she goes, I hope I didn't just hear you say demand. Like, that was just
lucky she didn't slap him.
Yeah.
Seriously.
But I also just want to say, even though, like, I always try to approach episode, like, I know we all hate Izzy. But I did appreciate, and this is always going to be who I am, everyone. So if you hate this opinion, I'm sorry. Please don't hate me. But, like, I did appreciate that Izzy says, like, this isn't a chapter that I want to be defined by. Like, she hasn't told any of these people about that. And I just liked that. I don't know. I guess I really like the writing of this show. Like, that sentence, like, this isn't a chapter. Like, she doesn't want anyone to know. And I get that. Because she has this, like, rapport with her, you know, her worker, her, like, coworkers and her friends. And they don't know about this. And, like, she clearly doesn't want anyone to know about it. So I respect, like, I love Bailey's understanding of that and, like, executing it, you know? I just love Bailey.
Yeah, and I can appreciate that, too. And I get it. Like, I think we all have chapters of our lives or even moments. Like,
right.
We just don't want people to know about them. I appreciate Bailey's respect of the situation. I loved Meredith kind of questioning and then just being like, okay, nope, I'll do what I'm told and I'll take
right.
Like this to the lab or whatever. But it just really bothers me that this is in such a short amount of like one episode. This is such a big deal.
It should be having an 11-year-old
child
right.
who has leukemia and needs a bone marrow transplant. And this is all we get. Like, if you're going to introduce that storyline,
it
should like be more than one episode.
I get that.
They do the testing, the removal of bone marrow and the transplant all in like the course of like, I don't know, a couple of hours. Like that's not what you would do. I don't even think. I mean, they are like taking the bone marrow and testing it at the same time.
Yeah.
And she's probably not even going to be a good match.
Do you two think that you would like the storyline better if it had been like extended a few episodes?
Yes.
Okay. I think so.
Okay.
I think it would have made more sense.
Yeah.
I think also I have a huge problem. Like I didn't hate Izzy until later and I didn't really hate her in this storyline, but I find it very strange that she is sort of putting this contingency on donating bone marrow to someone who apparently really needs it. And she's a doctor. And I'm sure a lot of doctors are registered on the National Bone Marrow Transplant List for strangers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why are you adding this thing of, can I meet my daughter? I mean, it should almost be my daughter wants to meet me and her parents don't want me to meet them, or I want to do the bone marrow and my daughter wants to meet me. But this weird thing of, it doesn't seem in character with Izzy that her first reaction would not be, oh my gosh, I need to do this. I need to help my daughter and maybe do it in private.
I didn't think it was contingent on that. I think she just like also wanted, like, she still did it. I think she in that moment where she turns away and Bailey's like, you need to do this so that you could ever, I think she probably still would have done it. She just was like,
But I think I understand where she's coming from, that she even brings it up, like, in the beginning. Like, she's here, can I meet her? Like, her first response isn't like, absolutely, I'll do it. Right. Her first response is like, I'm probably not a good match.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess I understand, maybe there's like some boundary things, like, I can't fucking do this. Like, I shut this chapter of my life.
Right.
But people donate to strangers.
I'm on the donor list.
Yeah.
So am I. I mean, like, and I've been called not for bone marrow, but I've been called for like those, like weird
stem cell thingies.
Yeah. Like, I've been called about that. And I have no idea who got that. I'm like, you just took it. So it does seem weird. It seems out of character for Izzy to have that reaction and have that reaction in the way to the parents, because I think it would make more sense to have that reaction after she did the transplant, to be like, can I meet her? And them to be like, no.
I guess it's just though, like, those parents are like, you look like her, you are, but like right away, I don't know. I'm not a mom, so I have no idea, but I imagine if I knew that my 11-year-old daughter, I'd want to at least see her. Like, my curiosity would, I don't know.
I think motherly, I think motherly instinct, the first thing is, oh my God, what can I do to help?
Yeah, yeah.
And especially also, Izzy, too.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Look at what Izzy has done for strangers. She's paid for whole operations.
Right.
Yeah, I think, and Abby, I understand where you're coming from. I think, like, she would have done it regardless, but, like, yeah, I understand where you're both coming from. That it's just, but it seems a little out of character for her to not demand, but like really want to see her beforehand. I don't know.
And it is, I feel like that's for me, it was like very sad then when, which I understood why she didn't want to, like, that's fine. Like that girl and those parents have every right to be like, she's, you know, not right now. But I think like, even as a viewer, you kind of like get excited for that moment where they might meet and you imagine what that could be like. So I can only imagine if you're Izzy and like she says to Bailey, I was wondering if this moment would come, and then to have it like taken away was just kind of like, even as a viewer, you're like, oh, like you sort of like want that homeward bound.
That's why this episode didn't make any sense, that it was a 40-minute episode about
right.
You know, there could have been, and I guess I understand, like, they needed something dramatic for like George and Izzy to come together, but like to create such an intense plot for them to come together
right
feels very bizarre to me.
Okay, so picture for a second that, okay, and really both of you use your open, or you like expand your minds, pretend George is single, not married to Callie.
Yeah.
Like, let's say him and Izzy haven't even like slept together yet, that like cheating on thing. Like, in that scene where he's holding her hand and being there for her, and then like taking her, like leaving and then coming back, and then like describing her daughter to her and all these things, like, don't you see their chemistry, or like their, like how they could possibly be a couple?
To me, they just seem like best friends.
Yeah, they're friends. They're not.
Who has platonic male friendships like that?
I had a good friend like that for a while.
I know.
Meredith kind of has that relationship with George. With Karev.
Oh, George. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I guess he's so, one of my notes is he's very boyfriendy.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. My brain just lets me slip right into the storyline and put it on like a comfy pair of sweatpants.
And that's funny. Like, we don't have to agree on it.
Right. Yeah.
I just really like their chemistry to me. Is like, we're very best friends. We're super comfortable with each other. We're very intimately, like, understand each other.
Right.
And we're mistaking that for romantic love.
Well, totally. That's what it is.
Right. And they're also so similar. It's right. Like, that's kind of strange, especially maybe it's not so similar in really in like real life. A lot of people who are similar get together, but on a TV show, it just makes for such little chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. And I also think it could be to do that I am married to my George.
Yeah, no, I was going to say you are married
like
George.
In all of the ways.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that is probably why I like feel very strongly for this. Like, even like Jake is even Georgie like, but but better. Oh, can we all agree? Bree knows him. Better. Yeah, yeah. But like, I don't know.
Doesn't even compare.
No, thank you. Yeah. But I just... I don't know. The only thing I have a problem with it is still how it all happened to begin with, which I don't think Izzy was even thinking of George as a romantic interest until George told her that Callie said it, and that started this whole fucking train. Right. So, like, if maybe Izzy had felt that way for a few more episodes without anyone telling her that idea, I would even be more on board with it. But that's the only part that I have a problem with, is, like, all of a sudden now she misses him as a lover when they've been friends. Like...
Yeah.
So I totally like empathize and agree with what you guys are saying. I just also, like I said, put on this episode like a comfy pair of pants and yeah. jump in for the ride and love the sad music. And I love the moments when George leaves and then he comes back.
Yeah.
But you watch that scene where he puts her pants on and just like swoon.
I did write, somehow they made this an intimate scene when it's like not an intimate thing.
Yeah. She does. She's very good acting of like being in pain, putting pants on. Like, like I don't know if you've ever had like surgery. Like I've had abdominal surgery where you're like trying to put your pants on and like, you're swinging and it's like, God damn it, this sucks.
Yeah. So
she did a really good job of that.
I just think there's
10 scuffles.
I think there's some episodes and some storylines where we all probably like find ourselves like, it might not be good or make sense, but it's dramatic and we like it because of that reason.
Yeah.
And I think I like the fact that it's like they're not allowed to be together, but they are. And but they're and I think I'm just like, yes, give me more of this.
And I think that's totally fine. Sometimes I totally feel that way. And also, like, we've talked about like what mental state you're in watching the episode. Yeah. And I was like on my lunch break, pissed as hell. And so like everything was just pissing me off about this. I'm like, that's bullshit. Right. Also, Callie looks like fucking shit in this episode.
I know, but she actually really like, but she also looks terrible. Good in a way, like a natural versus when her hair is all weird. I like her ponytail.
She looks so tired. No, I'm saying they did like a really good job making her look really tired.
I'm so sad for her too. Like, I feel like she was like excited. She had a terrible night, but her husband was going to meet her for coffee.
Yeah.
And then he fucking...
And then he lies about it.
Yeah.
And she knows.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Are you surprised that Callie doesn't call George out on that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's just so tired. You know, you're like at that point where you're like, I don't even have any fight in me. Like, I'll fight about this when I get my sleep.
And
think of what I want to say about this.
That's exactly what happened. Also, just really fast, I thought it was interesting, and this is a little spoiler alerty, but like seeing Izzy's daughter with cancer and bald, and then like, there's, you know, like, it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah. So anyways, just had to like throw that egg.
Yeah.
Egg
shell. You know what would have been a great time Easter to bring up the daughter storyline again?
Is then?
During that storyline.
Yeah, that would have been a great time.
Yeah. Totally.
Like, especially because they talk about like freezing her eggs and stuff then. Yeah. Like they could like talk about that.
That. Yeah, which, totally.
Which, by the way, have they ever brought that up again, considering Alex is the sperm donor of those?
Oh. Nope, they never have.
So like he just has
took
eggs.
Them in her hand.
Yeah, that she could, like, implant into her uterus. I almost said uteri.
Okay, so we kind of forgot about this when we were talking about Derek, but there's an interest... There's that scene with him... Well, first of all, Chief... Okay, this Chief doesn't want Derek to be Chief. Because of Meredith, and he's looking out for her, and I think that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, that is
bullshit. You can't... You cannot, like, because Chief couldn't hold down a marriage... And whatever, like, doesn't mean that someone else couldn't. And I don't think that's good enough reasons not to like, exclude someone from the runnings. It's just very weird. I know jobs are political, but that is weird.
But then also saying that, he's like, I told Ellis I'd protect Meredith. Yeah. I was like, well, you're fucking ruining your life right now. Because now you're putting that into Derek's head.
Right, Derek's going to resent Meredith.
And now
Meredith,
he's resenting Meredith.
Which is already happening.
Yeah, so good job, Chief.
Well, it's also, that is a very similar argument for someone to make that they used to make with women who wanted to have kids.
Right.
Right. Right.
I mean, it's, you know, it's that is a bullshit comment for Chief to make and reason for him not to be given Derek chiefdom. With that said, Derek is an asshole about the whole chiefdom thing, so I don't want him to get it.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting, like, in seasons down the road, especially, like, Derek's last season, like, this whole idea of Meredith holding him back, like, it's always a thing.
Yeah. Like, that is one of his worst qualities.
And Meredith isn't even holding him back, but in his brain, she is. Right. You know what I mean? And so, I almost feel like, yeah, it's just, it's, I don't know, it was interesting to see that show up now when I know it shows up again, like, 10 seasons from now.
Well, in the first scene, Susan says to Derek, "You deserve to be chief." And I'm like, how does she know that? And no, he doesn't.
She's just being a mom.
Shut the fuck
She's
up,
just
Susan.
Being a mom. I know, like, I hate it.
He does not deserve to be chief.
He just got there.
He is the ringer that he is so pissed about Marlo being. It's like, he just got there too. He's only been there for a few months. He is not a very good teacher.
Wait, hasn't Derek been there for years?
No, he's only been there for a year.
How much time has passed in three seasons? That's what
like
I want to
know. Started.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, he started when Meredith started, and they're still in their intern year.
Okay, good call.
So I'm just like, you just started too. So it's like, you can't argue that you're not a ringer.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I feel like I loved the Derek and Bailey moment on that same topic where I always liked Derek Bailey moments, even though he like didn't really go in there to help her fold the sheets. But, and that she fucking calls him out on that always, which is my favorite. But like Bailey's advice was you pick the person you love, end of story. Which I thought was an interesting.
Yeah. Cause pretty much didn't she say like, tell him to like stay with Meredith?
Yeah. Like if you got chiefdom
and like didn't have Meredith, it wouldn't be worth it.
Exactly. Like if you have that, who you're sharing with no one, it doesn't matter anyways.
My only note about that scene was Derek's hair looks huge. Did you notice it? It's like out of control. It was so big. It's like it was too big.
I didn't notice it. Now I'm sad. I'll find it for the Instagram.
I brought this up on the online, on Facebook, and I do want to ask you guys this question. I think it is ridiculous that they act like being the best surgeon would make you the best chief.
Yeah, we kind of did. I think we talk about this in an episode that hasn't aired yet, but.
Oh, okay.
It's true though. Like, just because you are a good surgeon does not mean that you can be a good leader.
Well, and also I feel like so much of being chief is being in front of the public and paperwork and shit that April Kepner could do.
Right.
But like Derek, well, and I mean, we kind of explore that a little bit later, but like some people who like take on chief for a little while who are the best surgeons don't end up liking the job.
Right.
Because it sucks.
But it's like, how did they not realize that? I don't understand. They've all worked in hospitals. They've all had chief of staff. And I don't look at chief and go like, I bet he was the best surgeon of his area.
I think
he's a really good administrator.
Right, exactly. But I think probably because these top surgeons associate with being chief with power, and they're all power hungry.
Yeah, I think that, and I also, and I hate when I throw this card in there because I feel like it is really bad for discussion, but also like television. like I think it, you know,
you always end the conversation with
but
that
I
one.
Think I do think like I don't think this would happen in a real life situation.
Well, I definitely don't think someone could say, come to my hospital and be chief.
Yeah.
No. There's like the board.
You have to like put in time. I agree with what Bree said about if they're power hungry, and that is like one step higher.
Yeah.
On the power train.
Yeah.
So do you think we've had a couple of chiefs, and I know you guys really don't like Owen, but do you think
he was a good chief? I thought he was a good chief.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do.
I don't hate Owen as much as Bree hates Owen.
I just like I don't know. I feel like he's a whiny bitch.
It'll be interesting when we get to his seasons, because maybe we liked him more in the beginning. And then,
I think I did like
him. And then he just doesn't arc. He just keeps going upwards as whiny bitch, but hasn't come back down yet.
Yeah, but I thought he was a good chief. And I think he, except for, like, Christina, I think he, like, is a good teacher
and
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. And, I mean, he's had good teaching moments with everybody on that show, so mm-hmm. I do think he was a good chief. Yeah. I kind of don't like Owen just because I feel like the show kind of became more ER-ish after he joined the staff.
I agree. And I think too, in order to be a good chief, you have to be a good teacher. And I don't really think Burke or Derek are good teachers.
No. Burke's only a good teacher to, like, one person when he wants to be.
Right.
Like, when he's proving some other weird point.
Yeah.
And Derek isn't.
No.
Sloan is a bad teacher. He becomes kind of a good teacher.
Yeah.
Addison's arguably the only good teacher.
Right.
Right.
And she's being inappropriate.
They're all of the people in the upper positions.
I think
sucking.
Bailey is the only one worthy of it. /#, spoiler alert. And she knows it. She just isn't ready yet. She has not fully been ripened.
It's funny though, because I can't imagine any of the interns being good chiefs.
No.
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 I don't think we'll ever see that, and I hope we never do.
No.
We made it through all the little things. Before we read, like, notes and trivia and fun stuff, do you have any, like, crazy outlier notes that are worth noting?
I do have a couple.
Okay.
First of all, regarding the Ava having her parents find her, why aren't they just doing a blood test?
Dramatics. That's so true. I don't know.
They're like, is it your face? Isn't it?
Just take her home. Yeah. We're done with her. That's a very good point.
It's like they're testing the tonsils, and I'm like, why don't they just draw blood?
Yeah.
It's like, it would be so much easier. I wrote down a couple of notes. Alex really loves free food, because his reaction when he sees that Susan brought food was like, he's so, like, actually happy about that.
Yes.
He did that in the other episode, too, when Meredith made dinner or whatever. He's like, dinner.
Just sat down and started eating.
Yeah.
Again, I feel like this is an episode with a lot of mommy issues, and I feel like Alex's mommy issues are just starting to be uncovered.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Have you ever looked at the pictures that's in their lockers?
No.
I look at them sometimes. Sometimes they're real weird.
Yeah. Well, I noticed watching this episode that Alex has a Get Tested logo picture in his locker.
That's really funny.
That matches his character.
That someone put that in there as a joke.
Like, yeah.
Someone on the staff probably thinks that's hilarious that they.
I thought it was hilarious when I realized it.
That's
great.
I was great.
Like, wow. I really did like Addison's purple top. I think that was a really attractive outfit that she had. I always notice the clothes on this show because it's so rare for them to be in, like,
good,
nice clothing.
Yeah.
I don't like the fact, but it's consistent with them that if something's going on with one of them medically, they just ignore every other patient in the hospital.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody got looked at because Izzy was having the bone marrow procedure done.
Oh, yeah.
Because they kept passing those clipboards around.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're, like, just backed up in the clinic because Bailey was up taking care of Izzy, and George couldn't do anything because he was freaking out about Izzy. Callie was tired, and Meredith was running Izzy's labs. So
hopefully there are other residents who have other interns, right?
No, nope,
I would hope so.
I think, yeah.
Because they're really bad. And also, my last one was just HIPAA rules out the window.
Oh, always.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that is so, like, Izzy in that moment is a patient. Meredith should not be telling George, like, is that what you're talking about, HIPAA?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Bailey should not be giving those results, asking Meredith to send the results for testing.
No.
It's like
they should really do it herself.
They're just terrible at this.
Well, to be fair, she did say don't look at it. But how do you not look at it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, but she's going to see the name. I mean, right, that's right, enough right, of right. a violation.
Right. Yeah.
It was, yeah. And I said I liked the scene with Izzy. I liked the scene with Izzy after her procedure with George. I thought George was acting weird because he walked away and then came back in the room. But mm-hmm. I did really like that scene with Izzy. And I liked the scene when they're looking at her daughter.
Yeah,
but I thought it was weird when George was like, she's a heartbreaker. I'm like, that's such a weird comment to make.
He also called Ava hot. So
yeah,
he's just all over the board today.
Yeah. But Abby loves him.
I do.
Yeah. He is her comfy sweatpants.
He is. George is a pair of comfy sweatpants. And sometimes, you know what, that's just easier than a fucking Burke.
Yeah, I get it.
Do you think George and Callie have chemistry?
No.
No. That was a mistake.
I don't think anyone has chemistry with George.
I think Izzy is the only one that does.
Hmm. I think George
is
meant
after this? Shut up, Preet.
I'm sorry.
George is meant to be with me. You guys, if you go back far enough in my profile pictures in whatever year his last season was, that was my profile picture for like 7 months. It's a photo of George. So suck it.
You know that you ruined that episode for me.
Dear listeners, I didn't mean to because I put that as my profile.
Because you put that and you're like, I can't believe this. You put like your Facebook status and like, I can't believe this and put a photo of George up. And I was like, you son of a bitch.
Well.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you like George, please comment on the Facebook group. I am feeling very alone and like my opinion is different.
I used to like George. He got real whiny at the end.
I like him better now than the first few seasons.
But it's funny because I have been, honestly, I've been working weird hours, so I've just had shows on in the background. I've been rewatching Private Practice a little bit, and it's odd because I love Sheldon. Like, I'm attracted to Sheldon, and he's a George. And I'm like, I don't know why I don't like George, but I like him.
It's whatever. Yeah.
It's okay.
It's weird.
Do we have any notes in trivia?
This episode scored 21.12 million viewers.
28 million of them like George.
28?
20.
I was like, it's 21. Like, even more. Yeah. Bailey tells Derek that if he has to choose between the chief job and his loved one, he should pick his loved one because the job is nothing when he's all alone. Ironically, when her husband later makes her choose between her career and their marriage, she chooses her career.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, that's I was really thinking funny, about though. That too.
Yeah.
Maybe her funny. Husband just sucked.
Yeah, I think he did. And she just needed out.
Her husband did really suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so we got to rate the episode.
Okay. I feel like if I rated this without speaking to either of you, it would have been higher. But I'm going to go with a six. My ratings have been generous lately.
Six scalpels.
Leslie, what's yours?
Oh, I think like a five scalpels.
Okay.
Five scalpels.
I don't hate the episode. I like a lot of scenes. I just don't like the overall storyline.
I'm going to go with three scalpels. I just really didn't care for it at
three
all.
Three scalpels and two hot dogs is what Brie rates this episode.
And a bucket of ice cream.
And a bucket of hormones.
Yeah, and a bucket of hormones.
18 tampons and two hot dogs is what I rate this.
Yeah.
Abby, can I ask one question? Did you cry at the scene with Izzy and her daughter?
If I had not been also sort of taking notes and like editing photos, I think I would have gotten a little like misty-eyed in the
little mare misty-eyed
when George leaves and then she cries and then he comes back.
It was the stuff with George?
Oh yeah, it wasn't really with her daughter.
Did you have GGBs?
No, I didn't have GGBs. But that's how I feel.
That's it.
I also got
it's funny because I didn't really even like the storyline, but I was still a little teary-eyed.
The person that they picked as her daughter too, I thought actually looked like her daughter.
Yeah, I thought so too.
So
yeah.
Anyways. Welp.
Well, that's the episode.
There it is. Leslie, thank you for being a patron.
Yes.
Oh, it was so fun to get to talk about this and share my likes and dislikes about Grey's, and it was so fun. I think the last episodes of the seasons are really, really good. So even though I didn't love this episode, I was so happy to get to talk about it, and especially talk about an Addison episode, even though she wasn't in it a lot, because I love Addison.
She's still great, though. Yep.
Oh, my gosh. Anytime she's in a scene, she's just the best.
She's just stop.
Well, we're thankful that you give money and that you found us and that...
And you had such great insight and so personable and like legit insight. Like we had some disagreements in
and
there.
And I like it. I like it. And we would love if you would do the honors of calling time of death if you can do the math, because I still have a hard time with it.
Time of death... Oh my god, I forgot to look at the clock. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
It's 12 plus 9. Oh, 21. Time of death, 21, 12 hours.